The pressure is on Stephen Glass as the winless run increases to 7 following a loss against St Johnstone at Pittodrie on Saturday. We hear from him with his analysis of the match. We also catch up with Carrie Doig following our match against Hamilton on Sunday. Youth phase manager Stuart Duff spoke to Red TV about his new role at the club. And if you want to hear a player that is truly happy about being back at the club, listen in as Rob McLean speaks to Marley Watkins about his return to the Dons. This is the AFC Donscast on Tuesday, the 21st of September. And welcome to the AFC Donscast from the Inverness Reds. It's Graham here with your weekly Dons News update. Stevie May came off the bench to give St Johnstone their first league victory of the campaign with 6 minutes left on the clock. It's back-to-back league defeats for the Dons, where we have also not scored. Prior to the goal, it was turgid stuff and did look as if it was heading for a goalless draw. We had most of the ball, but little to show for it. Christian Ramirez was twice a matter of inches from getting on the end of crosses, first from Lewis Ferguson in the opening period and then by Jack McKenzie after the break. Austin Samuels also cut in twice to test Xander Clark in the St Johnstone goal, as his pace and trickery caused problems, but ultimately not enough to carve a goal. Stevie May's goal came after he picked up a loose ball before cutting inside Declan Gallagher and Calvin Ramsey and put the ball into the bottom corner of the net. We've dropped to 7th place in the Premiership, with questions now being asked of new manager Glass as the pressure builds.
How do you assess that game?
Same as the last couple of weeks again. Not doing enough in the final third, a little bit of quality that you need to go and score some goals. Missing at the minute. And again, defensively, for a situation in the game other than shots at the goal and the offside opportunity, didn't look in any trouble. And you've got to defend that better.
Is it a major source of frustration that Xander Clark had a fairly easy afternoon?
Yeah, definitely. I think we got into situations where it should be better. Crosses a little too hard, poor decision making in the final third. And like you say, not making the goalkeeper work. We didn't really look like scoring despite getting in those areas, which is frustrating, aye.
What have you said to the players in there to try and pick them up? They must be maybe suffering a bit confidence-wise after this run.
They probably are. Said to them, we need to stick together, we need to keep believing what they're doing, which again, I think the players do. And of course, there's going to be a lot of negativity outside, and it's important that we focus on what we're doing. There's enough negativity within us, the demands we put on ourselves, but we need to keep focusing on what we're doing and it'll come right.
What's the situation with David Bates? He looked injured going off?
Yeah, it's the one where he got kicked in the first half and he really tightened up and he had to come off. Scott's obviously telling us he needed to come off during the second half. So I think he'll be all right, but I don't know. But again, we'll try to make an attacking sub at that point and then ended up having to use the last sub to bring on Declan for Bates.
I think for the second Pittodrie game in a row, Samuels looked a real threat, but he was taken off early. What was the thinking behind that?
That was the limit that we had in him today. I think when you get him back to as quick as he's come back, that we work with Stokesy, and obviously there's limitations on how far you can push him or you risk the fact that he's going to go longer term. And I was even asking Stokesy in the first half, are we tight on that 60? And that's the reason for that, is we wanted them to be on the pitch for longer. So it's not, again, if the game is as it is and Austin's as he should be, there's no danger he's coming off the pitch when he's playing like he was. But otherwise, you're looking at a long-term situation, which is, first and foremost, what the big picture is for everybody.
OK, thanks, Stephen.
Cheers. Thank you.
Catch live audio and video of our next match only on Red TV. Subscribe now for full match day coverage, replays, highlights and all the goals, exclusive interviews and behind the scenes content. Sign up now at redtv.afc.co.uk. The best of the action only on Red TV.
It was back-to-back wins for Aberdeen Women after Louise Brown's strike was enough to secure the win against Hamilton Accies at the Balmoral Stadium on Sunday. The Dons kept a clean sheet for the second week in a row but were made to sweat in the latter stages by Accies, who really should have been out of contention by that point. Here's Carrie Doig following the match.
Carrie, a 1-0 win today. You must have been pleased to keep the clean sheet at the back there. Yeah, definitely. It's just as important for us to keep a clean sheet in this league as it is to get the goals. So as a defender, yeah, we're absolutely delighted to manage to hang on and keep the clean sheet and keep our goal difference positive now.
Thought the team dominated, especially in the first half, but as long as there was only one goal in it, it was always going to be quite a close game, and Hamilton pushed on at the end there. It was quite close towards the end. I thought the team defended really well to see the game out.
Yeah, definitely. Would have loved to get another goal to kind of finish them off, and I think we had the chances to do it. We just couldn't get that second goal. But we dug deep, and like you say, we were all just throwing everything at it towards the end of the match to make sure we kept that clean sheet and got the 3 points that we need.
Don't want to keep dwelling on the fact there's so many players out, but there is a lot of players out at the minute, so it must make it even more pleasing that all the squad's getting used and you're still managing to get the wins.
Yeah, definitely. I think it shows the depth in our squad. Obviously, like you said, we do have quite a few players out, quite a few players who would normally be in the starting 11. But even without them, we can still get the 3 points. And like it shows how strong we are as a team, and everyone's important in the team. So yeah, really delighted that we could do it.
As a defender, obviously, clean sheets are important. It was good to get one today, and that's two in a row now, and that's good after the Saturday game here, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's good to get the 2 games in a row of clean sheets, just to kind of show that we can do it again and get ourselves solidified as a defence again, and play our part in the team getting the win. So definitely important for us, yeah.
Maybe a word for Louise up front as well, getting her first goal today. I thought she did a load of work up front. It was good to see her getting on the score sheet.
Absolutely brilliant for her. Delighted that she managed to get her first goal. She deserves it. She worked so hard, chasing down every ball and everything. So it was a good finish from her. We're delighted for her.
Perfect. Thank you.
There were two other games in the Scottish Premiership on Saturday. Hibs were held to a 2-2 draw by St Mirren at Easter Road, and it was also 2-2 between Ross County and Hearts in Dingwall. It was a bad day for the home teams in the Championship, although bottom club Dunfermline Athletic picked up a point in a 0-0 draw with leaders Inverness Cali Thistle. Kilmarnock closed the gap at the top to a single point by beating Partick Thistle 2-0 at Fir Hill, and it was also 2-0 for third place Arbroath away to Queen of the South. Ayr United defeated Hamilton Accies 2-0 at New Douglas Park, and Raith Rovers were 1-0 winners against Morton at Capilo. Dumbarton moved level on points with League One leaders Queen's Park thanks to a 2-1 win at Falkirk, who are sitting 7th but are only 3 points off the top. Queen's Park drew 2-2 with Clyde at Broadwood, and Cove Rangers are 3rd from their 1-0 win at Peterhead. Allo Athletic earned a 2-0 victory away to Montrose, and Airdrieonians beat bottom club East Fife 3-0 at the Penny Carr Stadium. County Hearts are 2 points clear in League Two after Nathan Austin hit a hat-trick in a 3-0 win at Albion Rovers, whilst closest challengers Annan Athletic triumphed 2-0 at Elgin City. Stranraer beat Stenhouse Muir 2-0 at Stair Park, with the Warriors now bottom of the table after Cowdenbeath's 1-1 draw with Forfar Athletic at Central Park. Edinburgh City and Stirling Albion drew 2-2 at Ainslie Park on Friday. On Sunday in the Premiership, Dundee United won the first Dundee derby of the season at Tannadice. A late goal from Ian Harkes earned them a 1-0 victory and sent the visitors to the bottom of the table. Andrew Shinney scored the only goal as Livingston upset the odds to beat Celtic 1-0 at the Tony Macaroni Arena for their first league win of the season. And Rangers moved to the top of the table despite being held 1-0 by Motherwell at Ibrox.
Ten Lasso Welcome Wagon has arrived.
Ted!
So, you're heavily favoured this weekend. You think this will end your embarrassing streak of draws?
Lloyd, I've never been embarrassed about having streaks in my draws. You know, it's all part of growing up.
I got a question for you. Has a team a la us ever won the whole chimichanga?
Not for 40 years.
Oh!
No, you don't come in through here. That's fine. Yeah, I got you.
It's like Dukes of Hazzards. Or y'all probably call it the Earls of Risk over here. It's a
terror of knowing what this world is about. We got work to do.
It's time for these young fellas to meet that guy.
Oh no, let Des up.
Hey, you little turd birds! Start touching your toes! And touch each other's toes!
What?
How long was I here?
Not as long as last time, but nobody was hurt.
Okay.
People saying there's something wrong with us. Not the way I see it. I believe in communism. Rom communism, that is. If Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan can go through some heartfelt struggles and still end up happy, then so can we. Caring up
is our turn to make history, and I believe we're going to do just that.
To the family we're born with, and to families we make along the way, to Richmond!
All right, let's go kick their butts.
Butts on three.
Works for me. One, two, three. Butts!
You can watch the new season of Ted Lasso now and catch up on season one only on Apple TV+. Okay, let's catch up with the week's news then. And five Scottish Premiership clubs have commissioned independent advisers to conduct a review of the SPFL and identify significant additional revenues for the benefit of all. Aberdeen, Dundee, Dundee United, Hearts and Hibs have engaged Deloitte to undertake the evaluation, which has been endorsed by the SPFL. The clubs are keen for engagement from throughout the 42-team organisation and say they will publish the key outcomes and recommendations, with the process expected to take 6 months. The strategic and holistic review will cover four main points, which includes commercial growth, the SPFL brand, SPFL structure, governance, organisation, resources and competition, and strategic projects. The five clubs insist it's not about redistribution of existing income sources in favour of the so-called bigger clubs, adding that a rising tide lifts all ships. It's hoped that the annual distribution to member clubs can be increased from its current level of £27 million a year to at least £50 million within the next 5 years. Kelty Hearts have signed Aberdeen youngster Kieran Engwenya on loan for the remainder of the campaign. The 18-year-old from Edinburgh made his Aberdeen debut in a league win over Ross County in December last year and has since made one more appearance for the first team. In March, Engwenya moved on loan to Cove Rangers in League One, making seven appearances before making his international debut for Malawi in a friendly against Tanzania in June. This season, Kieran impressed greatly in the SPFL Trust Trophy wins over Brora Rangers and Arbroath. Kieran will join Conor Barron, who is also on loan at Kelty. The Aberdeen under-18s drew with Dundee United at Cormac Park last Tuesday evening. Ryan Duncan's 85th-minute strike cancelling out Stuart Heenan's opener for the Tangerines in an entertaining game which saw both sides enjoy periods of dominance. And finally, earlier this week, Rob McLean caught up with Marley Watkins to talk about his return to the club.
Marley, are you settling in your second spell at Aberdeen? Because it seemed as if it happened quite quickly.
Yeah, no, great to be back, and yeah, it did happen fast, but yeah, just great to be back, and yeah, just looking forward to enjoying my football again and being part of this quality team.
There's a real positive feeling among the Dons fans about having you back, because your first spell here coincided with a spell of really good football.
Yeah, I think it was really enjoyable the first time I was up here. We linked up well with like Scott Wright and Hedgie, and yeah, it was really enjoyable, and I think we're even better as a squad now, so hopefully when it all clicks and when we all gel, I think we'll play some good stuff and we'll be really successful.
Was that previously, was that just three guys very much on the same wavelength, you and Hedgie and Scott Wright?
Yeah, I knew Hedgie before. I was with him at Barnsley, and I knew he was a quality player. And yeah, and then he's obviously good mates with Scott, and we just gelled, yeah, on and off the pitch. So yeah, great lads off the pitch, and yeah, they're just quality players that are enjoyable to play with. So yeah.
When you look at the squad now, do you see lots of attacking options?
Yeah, definitely, and I think they've made some quality signings, quality loanees, and yeah, we've also got, you know, winners in the dressing room. So yeah, I think we've got a mix of everything, and I think it always takes time to gel with new players, so we've just got to be patient. Not too patient, because obviously we've got to win because it's Aberdeen, but yeah, I think once it all clicks, we'll be on our way.
You can listen to the full interview with Marley and Rob on Red TV. Youth Phase manager Stuart Duff spoke to Mal about his new role at the club.
Stuart, first of all, great to see you. I said it's a while since we've done one of these Red TV interviews, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, normally it's on a match day. Yeah, normally it's a match day one, but no, delighted to help you out today.
Tell us a bit about your new role. Well, first of all, many congratulations. Tell us a bit about your new role within the Youth Academy.
Yeah, it's a role that I'm very passionate about, and you know, I'm very, very privileged to be given the opportunity to to lead the youth phase. My role is a youth phase manager, so that's overseeing the under 13s to the under 16s. So getting the guys in a prepared state for when they make that step up, hopefully to the first team and into Barry and Scott's squad. So the transition and working closer with Barry and Scott's important, and obviously Lee McGarry with the foundation phase underneath, with the advice and help of Gavin Levy as well. So things are looking bright.
So just explain a bit more. I mean, you're basically from the under 13 and 16, you're in charge of everything, is that right? The players, the coaches, the parents, that type of thing, is that
yeah,
right?
just everything from, it could be parents to the curriculum. Want to really get a philosophy across how Aberdeen as a club want to play. Again, that comes down from probably the first team. So we want to have a brand of football that we're excited about. And it's definitely something I foresee. And I think there's, a really good challenge ahead of us. I'm going to be relentless and kind of going for that ambition to push the guys on and be ready for, hopefully, a lot of first-team guys come in the future. Yeah.
But having somebody overseeing the teams, as you say, it's a transition, isn't it? And it, also, the key thing is the pathway. So you're keeping an eye on all the players, so you can say to the coaches, this guy should be stepping up or he's got, can play at a different higher level. Is that the type of thing? Yeah,
that's a very, very key word. You used there, pathway. There has to be a pathway for all the players, regardless of age, level. That's something we want to introduce as often as we can. That's potentially having players play up a year or two. We've got certain individuals just now playing 2 years above themselves, so that's great for them, throughout the academy. And I think the quality that we've got here with the environment and the facilities, I think, it's up to the guys now, because the opportunities will be there for them.
And you're almost a final piece in the jigsaw now, but within the structure of the youth academy. I mean, it's now in place, isn't it? I think they've been working hard at it for quite a number of years, but this is the structure they want in place, and hopefully we'll see the results.
Yeah.
Quite soon. It'll take a wee while.
Yeah, of course it'll take a while, but I think, with the facilities at Cormac Park, it's a good start. We're very lucky to be in this position. Now it's kind of down to the coaches and the players and us as staff to really get the most out of the players from an individual aspect, a collective as well. We want to be going challenging for things, whether that's a competitive cup football between 13s, 16s and below. But the end goal is to really get guys prepared and ready for making that step up into full-time football.
So you see, you're handing them on to Barry Robson. Now, I know what Barry's like. I mean, hugely demanding, but, he's putting demands on you, is that right? He's saying how he wants it to the players for when they step up to his team.
Yeah, that's got to filter down from Barry and Scott, and obviously coming down from the first team as well. I think it's vitally important that we do have the things in place to give the guys the best chance when they do make that transition up into the development phase. So it is hard, Barry's very demanding, but you need to have that. You're not going to go anywhere if you just have people, standing by and letting things coast along. So it's really important to put the emphasis back in the players. And, I'm really excited and I can't wait to really get going with this role.
We're giving Barry a hard time, but he's doing a fantastic job with the 18s. I mean, the result against Arbroath at the weekend there, I mean, it was practically an under-18 team, wasn't it? I mean, incredible result.
Yeah, fantastic. And you see the work, day in, day out that he's doing with these guys, and from an individual aspect to a team collective, and I think the future's very bright for that squad, and that's what we want to continue. We want to have a clear pathway for the younger players. They can all see that, these are all graduates throughout the academy that have came through and, producing great result against Arbroath, who are a championship side and good level.
That's fantastic. Now, just for you personally, how many nights a week are you having at work here then? Is it pretty much every night you're down?
Pretty much every night, but that's something that I've always, the last few years I've been doing my badges, and it's been an ambition of mine to get back into the full-time football, in a coaching capacity, albeit this is a bit more of my managerial role. However, looking after the 15s and 16s currently, so it's most evenings. So it's time-consuming, but at the same time, it's a role that, like I touched on before, I'm going to be relentless in my aspirations to really push the academy on and evolve and, really make them the best they can be.
And have you finally hung up the boots, Stuart, have you?
Yes. I might play the odd game of five-a-sides, but no, I think my focus has to be in the players. And that's not only the 13s to 16s. I've got to take a keen eye on the 11 and 12-year-olds, and I'm actually currently helping Lee McGarry under-9s as well, just so we're looking at that next batch of crop of youngsters coming through, because it's really important that we catch them early and start their development as early as we can.
You can be very proud of your career, though. And I mean, looking back, I mean, your time at Aberdeen as well. And it's great that you have yourself, Derek Young, Barry, all these ex-Aberdeen players involved.
Yeah, it's for me, it's an unbelievable honour, and I'm privileged to be in this position. However, I won't take it for granted. I'm a huge Aberdeen fan. I want what's best for the club as a whole, and that's just going to, alongside Barry and Derek, these guys are all know what it means to play for Aberdeen at high level. I think it's very, very Brighton with the coaching structure and the coaching staff that we've got in place right throughout the academy. There's some terrific, terrific coaches there now. It's looking to evolve them as well and get the most out of them. So, no, it's really exciting times, really exciting.
OK, let's catch up with some supporters' news then. And tickets for an evening with Willie Miller at Eden Court, Inverness, are still on sale. Graeme Spears is the host of the evening on Monday the 1st of November, where there'll be plenty of stories, interview and debate with one of the enduring legends of Scottish football. It's 2 hours of chat where members of the audience will also be invited to put questions to Willie. The night kicks off at 7:30pm and will now be held in the bigger Empire Theatre. And you can get your tickets online now at edenhashcourt.co.uk. That's edenhashcourt.co.uk, and the tickets cost £19. There is Scottish League Cup action midweek this week. Dundee versus St Johnstone and Rangers versus Livingston, both 7:45pm kickoffs tomorrow night. And on Thursday night, Celtic versus Raith Rovers and Dundee United versus Hibs, also 7:45pm kickoffs. In the Scottish Premiership, we're away to St Mirren in Paisley on Sunday for the midday kickoff live on Sky Sports. Tickets for this match are now on sale online and from the Pittodrie ticket office, but there will not be turnstiles on match day, so you'll need to get a ticket beforehand if you're planning to head down. The match is also available on pay-per-view on St Mirren TV or via Now TV Sky Sports Day Pass if you don't subscribe to Sky Sports. And if you're a Red TV International subscriber, you'll be able to watch it on there as part of your subscription. Elsewhere in the Premiership at the weekend, three matches on Saturday, all 3pm kickoffs. Dundee are at home to Rangers, Hearts versus Livingston, and Ross County are away to Motherwell. And three on Sunday, our own match against St Mirren at midday, followed at 3pm by Celtic versus Dundee United and Hibs and St Johnstone. Aberdeen Women are in action on Sunday away to Spartans Women at Ainslie Park Stadium for a 1pm kickoff. And before I head off, just time to remind you about the AFC Big Supporter Survey 2021. It's due to close this coming Thursday, so if you haven't already completed it, head on over to invernessreds.co.uk/AFC2021, where you'll also have the chance to win a new Dons home or away shirt. The Inverness Reds website is also where you'll find live score updates and stats from our match against St Mirren on Sunday and all the latest Dons and supporters news. And if you're on Facebook or Twitter, follow or like us using @InvernessReds. That's it for this week. Till next Tuesday, stand free.
That's all for this week. More Aberdeen news next Tuesday evening from 8.